Is Toucher and Rich?
Oh, boy, well.
Or Felger and Maz?
That is an insult.
Listen to the podcasts on the new 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fists this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zero level of concern at this stage. I'll come in Tuesday night, and we'll see what happens.
Here's a left-hand jumper for LeBron, falling away in the baseline. That's the shot he was working on all morning when he beat the rest of the Cavs here by about an hour. He knocks it down. LeBron has 16 already.
For me, game one has always been a fill-out game for me, if you ever followed my history, so.
She thinks she missed the train to Mars. She's out back counting
LeBron, smart, gobbles him up two in a shot clock. Crazy follow. Oh. Three is good. An audible gasp from the building that he has tortured before, and LeBron is doing it again now. LeBron has 19 points in 8 minutes and 33 seconds to start game two.
You just have to keep, you know, make it as hard as possible on LeBron. You know, we're just going to have to be that again on Tuesday night.
Our mindset is we don't back down from anybody, Doris. We come here to play.
Right side, passed him, scores it on the foul. And Marcus Morris screaming into the face of Tristan Thompson.
Hey, what you gonna do now?
And it didn't take long for this thing to get tested. Thompson punches the rebound in the air, but it ends up in the hands of Rozier. He's gonna beat James down the floor and slam it hard with the right hand.
Go for that one, Mr. James. Get some of that.
Baines, he's gonna try one of those left side threes, and he got it.
Failometer.
Tatum picks it up, floats it out towards Morris, swings to the open man. Rozier, three.
Ooh.
Got it. 23-11 is the Boston run. Their largest lead of game two. Smart attacks the rebound out to Tatum. Attacks the paint, reverses it up, no good. Smart climbs in for an offensive rebound. Puts it off the window and in. And a night that began as a masterpiece being painted by LeBron has been graffitied up by Marcus Smart. Jaylen Brown all alone for three. Here's Horford, spins on Kevin Love. Reverses it up and in. Scored on the foul. You were waiting for Al Horford all night. When the money's on the table, playoff Al busts through the door. Smart lob. Horford catches and got fouled, pushed in the back by J.R. Smith. And now we got more trouble.
Keep letting the bully keep picking on you. He's going to keep picking on you until you finally stand up. And that's what I tried to do.
Jay Larinaga comes to get Marcus Smart. Phil Lynch, Celtics director of security, kind of yanking Marcus Smart out of any trouble here.
One of my guys was down, and I took offense to it.
Smart for Horford. He's taking that three right over Kevin Love, and he sticks it. Smart catches. Good look. Deep three. It's money. Back to Rozier. Attacks the glass. Lays it up and in. And the Celtics are going to pull this off.
You got to be kidding me.
At the end of the day, the greatest player in the world is on one end of the floor, but the Celtics are running him around in circles.
This is the first time you've been down 0-2 in the East in 10 years. How do you think you will digest that challenge over the next couple of days and prepare yourself for what's going to be called for from you?
You ask, how will I digest it? I'm not going to lose sleep over it.
I thought you'd been there holding daisies.
A stirring come-from-behind win in what may have been the Marcus Smart game of all Marcus Smart games. The final score, Boston 107, Cleveland 94. The Celtics lead the Eastern Conference Finals 2-0.
At 5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and with a Cleveland loss comes a very sad Brian Windhorst. Brian Windhorst, a large writer who has been following the career of LeBron James since his days in Akron, playing for the Irish, and he has broken down the analytics of how LeBron is ingenious about the way he walks up and down the court. And he had to be feeling a little bit bad last night.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of him that was going around? I did not watch in real time LeBron James's press conference, but he's sitting in the back and his arms are crossed and his chin.
He's like, I've been here before.
Yeah. Man. Well, no. This is one where it seems to hurt a little bit more because, as we were saying, yeah, he's probably looking around different cities saying, I'm going to have to move to one of these places.
It doesn't matter where he moves as long as his guy's right there. He knows what his job is.
Yep. Being the barnacle on the ass of LeBron James.
Yeah, is having no credibility.
So he was in a fairly sad mood, obviously, this morning, as you could understand.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that when he wrote this, he probably put on a little mood music that matched the words in which he wrote.
Yeah, it's probably a...
The title...
It's odd that you play this music, because I would understand he had a big mutton chop.
You totally see this.
I could
with
see
the pan flute and everything.
I could see him going like, send up free turkey leg.
He had a giant turkey leg and a goblet of gravy next to it.
Yes.
Goblet. Sure, you go by the goblet. When
he had a pimp cup full of gravy.
Brian Windhorst, yes. But the name of his article, Fred?
Heavy Lies the East Crown. A burden Boston has yet to weigh.
Mm. Now it's, I always go back to my love of the Hobbit and sitting alone.
Up 2-0 in the Eastern Conference Finals, the Celtics are showing the vigor of an upstart contender. Meanwhile, LeBron James once again looks mired in the morass of organizational fatigue. I mean, this is what he...
Organizational fatigue. LeBron, how will you overcome? You remind me of... You remind me of some troll. I got no references about. I got no references from any of these books.
Okay, of Gimli the Dwarf.
Okay, yes.
When he failed in his conquest to find the One Ring to rule them all.
Okay, you give the references.
Okay, as thus written in the Silmarillion.
You can just sit here listening to that voice all day, man.
I got no references. I can't help with it.
I mean, what is he doing here? I mean, obviously, this dude completely watched, like, some sort, or read some Tolkien before.
Well, it's his happy place. Probably during, like, the fourth quarter, he cracked a well-worn copy of The Hobbit and just went ahead at it.
Busted open a copy of Willow on the DVD.
Oh, is that the one with David Bowie?
No, that's Labyrinth.
Same difference.
That is a Jim Henson creation. No, Willow is with Warwick Davis, the little person. And he has all the magical powers. And Val Kilmer in his last role where he wasn't fat. So I continue. When the Celtics players were frolicking to the basket
for
the second half starts Tuesday.
He has gone full on.
He's gone full LARP.
It wasn't full on LARP-a-rooskies.
It wasn't just circumstances, the relentless crowd, or the Boston PA man Eddie Palladino's flowing voice that were getting under the skin. It was the Cavs players themselves.
The PA guy.
Getting under the skin? Does it actually say that?
Yes, it does.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, he's like in a weird place right now.
Because PA guys, man, that's the difference. That's the home court advantage.
Yes, the voice of God.
The Cavs aren't just battling the ascendant Celtics. They are battling an enemy that has dogged LeBron James teams in the past. It's organizational fatigue, and it's very real. Acquire older veterans instead of developing younger players. Sign players to large contracts because they fit with James or because they can't be replaced if they leave in free agency. Trade draft picks to get veterans or as a way to relieve payroll pressure. Deal with the stress of repeated long playoff runs. Endure massive media scrutiny. This is when he becomes, LeBron, no one goes through what you have to go through. Manage varying degrees of drama. The players get sick of one another. They get sick of the coach. The coach gets sick of the players as a group. They lose sight of the process of the season because it becomes monotonous. Because there's no monotony on any other team.
No.
Other than, of course, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, I mean, you only walk so far to find so ring.
As monotonous as the bog of eternal stench where you shall lose our tax in the fight to escape thy quicksand.
What?
That is a never-ending story reference. Where is Falcor so shall escape the air?
Is that the one where I ride the massive thing?
That's the big dog. It's not a dog, though. It's like a puppet in the sky. Falcor is his name.
Never-ending story.
Yes.
Okay, I got it now. That's right. I'm with you.
Moonchild, say your name.
I'm with you.
Save Eternia.
For Windhorst, it's the never-ending buffet. The Golden Corral. Golden Corral, you shall stay open.
The never-ending hoagie. There are highs. With James teams, there are always highs. Oh, yes, they are. But the baggage everyone is carrying makes the flight that much harder to maintain. But like the alpha male lion who has to fight his way to the head of the pride. These are his words. The battles build up scar tissue.
and the younger upstarts circle plotting for a chance to shove him out. At some point, it catches up with you. That upstart is starting to appear. Is the Celts. Mm-hmm. Actually, put the Celts. But well, no matter...
It's an old Celtics...
Or the Celts, I shall say.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's right. Like an old Irish yarn. I'm kind of out of my league here.
Yes. A Tale of Two Towers. One one where Gandalf the White. And no, one,
if only this was true.
If only he actually wrote this.
Somewhere, I wish he had. Oh,
this is all what he's probably thinking of.
Oh, sure it is.
But I mean, sort of the way you're reading this, I'm like, oh, damn it. If only this was actually there.
This is unbelievable. By the way, John is exactly right. John on line one. I mean, this is something, this has been a long time coming, this story. He's had it ready to go.
John, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey, what's up?
It's been in a file on Windhorse's computer for the last, I don't know, let's just say 6 months. I can see the two of them sitting down saying, okay, if this goes south, we need to start the campaign of spin to get you out of Cleveland fast. And we're going to blame it on organizational fatigue because it's too much of a burden for other people to play with you because your expectation level is too high and they just can't keep up. God bless them. We're doing everything we can to make them better, but we can't because LeBron, you are simply the best.
I'm not feeling sorry for LeBron James one bit, and here's why. This is on him. This is him not committing to the Cavaliers, so they couldn't go out and get players, because why would you mortgage your future and make these moves if you didn't commit to staying there?
And what's funny, they have two lottery picks. I mean, they do have two lottery picks in the next draft.
Sure. And you know what? There was talk about should they use those picks for the upcoming draft in order to try to get somebody to help out LeBron James. And they're like, why would we do that when LeBron won't tell us he's going to stay? So all of this is on him. All of these guys that you're paying max money to, like Tristan Thompson, those are moves that he pushed for.
Oh, yeah.
So there's no sympathy for LeBron in any of this.
Yes, he's responsible. As much as you want to blame the organization, Dan Gilbert... Dan Gilbert gave him carte blanche.
Yep.
I mean, he made these moves.
Yep, he made him the GM, essentially.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's a reason why Kyrie Irving is not there. There's a reason why Kevin Love is there.
Yes.
And there's a reason why he doesn't have much of a bench. By the way, he hit the bench that he had last year, experienced guys, but ultimately useless, which is why they all got shipped out at the trade deadline to bring in other guys.
Well, that was unprecedented, and that was all LeBron James. It's funny when people blame... Dan Gilbert, and listen, Dan Gilbert's not the greatest owner of all time, but when they blame him, I don't know what else he could have done. And my whole point of him staying in Cleveland is I don't know what else they could have done for him.
Right. The ownership sold its soul, more specifically, Dan Gilbert sold his soul to bring LeBron back, knowing what he was doing. He was getting in bed with that guy, and now here we are. Where LeBron's ready to move on, and Dan Gilbert's like, "All right, I'm done.
See, that's why
I need to focus on the future of the franchise."
That's why I'm not positive he's leaving, because I don't know what else he can get.
Because he's leaving, he can't win with this team.
I don't know.
They
have two lottery picks, and they can move some things around. I don't know.
Heavy lies the crown. That is all we know.
If you want to continue to read the Windhorse article. I like it because I can lay back in the cut because I have no idea any of those references. Here's the CBS Sports Minute with Boomer, brought to you by South Shore.
If you leave, do not meddle in the affair of dragons, LeBron, for you are crunchy. It tastes good with ketchup. I know who that is.
Zero,
who
baby.
Is that? Huh? And I'm like, that is Jamie Gertz. That is Star from The Lost Boys, without a doubt in my mind. And sure enough, I had no idea. So she married the owner of the Atlanta Hawks? Is that right?
No, it said, I don't know, but it said she was owner of the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, so she married the guy who I think had it, or like, you know, he's like a billionaire and they got married. So yeah, so she is owner of the Atlanta Hawks. I think she owns another, like a baseball team
too. She owned my heart and this show's still standing.
Oh, well, I mean, she was all right in Less Than Zero. But
such a great adaptation of a good novel.
I never read the book, but the movie was kind
of
cheesy.
I
don't read books.
Didn't.
But
you're not an intellectual.
Apparently, she owns the Milwaukee Brewers as well.
That's it. Yeah. But by the way, she has aged wonderfully. Like she looks exactly the way that she did before.
Pretty good.
But that was just an all out random thing to throw up there. Like I had no idea that she was.
She was never the greatest, and now she's maintained that.
Mm-hmm. Shit, I didn't say she was the most beautiful girl in the world.
You inferred it.
That was very.
You know what Prince's favorite show was? New Girl.
He's a big fan of New Girl.
He actually wanted to be on an episode badly, if I remember you saying that.
And
right?
They filmed it right at his house. Okay. It ended last night.
Mm. Mm. You okay?
I'm more concerned about my missing money.
Yes, I've gathered that.
Yes, it's weighing heavily on my head, John.
Yes, yes.
It's hard to focus on anything else besides mm-hmm. my missing money. But we continue. I fight on. Rich, there was a press conference, you tell me?
So LeBron James afterwards, the last time he was down 2-0 in an Eastern Conference final was in 2008, and we know what happened then. He ended up being bounced, and the Celtics ended up going on to win the entire thing. But you wouldn't know it by hearing him speak yesterday. And also, on top of that, maybe the reason Brian Windhorst, although I wouldn't mind taking this call, maybe the reason Brian Windhorst was so upset yesterday was because there might have been another guy trying to move into his territory.
Mm. All right. I don't believe this for a minute, but your name is Davenport.
It is I, Davenport.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello. I came to call about Lord Windhorst. He is a direct descendant of Friar Tuck and wore his brown robe all night. The man is serious. He needs to know that he's going on an adventure. And that adventure is the demise of the Cavaliers. You can't hold it against him. He needs his fellow mates, Gimli and Lord Edward, to help.
Yes, he is built like a robust beast.
Now we're appealing
to roast beast is what we'd like to have with some salty pork, if you will.
Just six people. Davenport
is the forks and smash the plates. That's what Bilbo Baggins hates. That's what we sing when we do dishes, okay? Back in where the hobbits live. Whatever that place is called. My head is exploding.
The Shire?
The Shire! Yes!
Score one for Wally.
How dare you crash my house?
The Shire.
It's right from the Shire.
Oh, yeah, Wallach's his big boy.
Like him over there like acting like he's all cool.
I got one.
You know? I know. Wallach's being coy. Like, right. He doesn't know what's going on.
He's got a tattoo of an orc on his ass cheek. Damn it. On the left cheek, Gimli. The right cheek, Legolas. And in the middle, the one ring to rule them all. Tis brown. Okay, so
all right.
So let's take
that on. Was the whole the whole Lord of the Rings was just an allegory about anal.
That's right. The eye of Sauron. The eye of Sauron.
Right?
We now know what that eye is. It is a brown eye.
That's right. Oh, my houseboy Juan. I am the lord of your ring.
Yes, you are. That's right. The lord of the blank rings. All right, so this is a guy who's... Let's just listen to the press conference for many reasons, including this gentleman.
Bob Schron, the citizen. Thank you for your work that you do in Northeast Ohio, LeBron.
Let me just preface this by saying...
Thank you for all you do for
us. You transcend the game of basketball.
It's truly great.
Thank you for the evening.
I throw palms at your feet. Yes.
Bob Schron, the citizen. thank you for your work that you do in Northeast Ohio, LeBron. That stretch, I asked Ty, that stretch bridging the end of the first half into the third quarter, how did that turn around in the game?
I'm just expecting Windhorst to just jump up behind him and stab him in the neck, like in a movie. And blood go everywhere.
Windhorst is saying, this is hacky. I don't care about the Northeast Ohio. And people in Cincinnati are saying, LeBron,
mm-hmm.
what about Southern Ohio? Mm-hmm. You've done very little to help us.
It's true.
We're sitting here in the Natty. What's up in the Natty? Repping the Natty. Sean Casey. Coming into the jungle. Thanks for the vine.
Also, how did that turn around?
Sean Casey.
Jim Rome has shown up.
Because he always said it was the Natty. What is up in the Natty? Boomer. Boomer chucking it, Sam White. Boomer chucking it up, Sam White style. What is up with White? He's dead. Comes to
what?
Okay. What's up with A. Munoz repping that offensive line? What is up with the minor league hockey team? I can't remember their name. Travis. Travis on the fax machine. Jim, your Munoz take is going to get me fired.
Brittany Shears.
I just threw up on my television screen. Jim. Greg Kite repping big glasses coming on the show.
Regrow your drug-free lettuce.
Burning ants with just the power of the sun.
Give it Tom Kite.
Yeah. Greg Kite, big, dopey basketball player going to join us. You know what I'm going to talk about in the 1 year that Fred Toucher listens to the show? I am going to talk about that dude from the Cubs slump busting the entire time.
Have a nice day.
Mark Grace.
Mark Grace slump busting. Having sex with ugly women to get out of slumps.
The suds.
I will mention it every 15 minutes for a year.
The hoodie just got carved.
Windhorse, where is your facial hair? Your estrogen levels are off the chart. You have ate yourself out of testosterone. All right, we will continue with this press conference. We're very mired in old English and Jim Rome. So we will get back to what's going on. Oh, look at Windhorse with his arms crossed. He really was.
He really was
in a salty mood.
He's sad and he's pissed.
That does almost look like he's like sleepy, sad and sleepy.
Windhorse resting his hands beneath his bosom.
Yeah, he's not taking notes. He's not recording anything.
He doesn't need to.
He's just angry.
His bosoms tell the story. Windhorse keeping warm.
It's like a weather vane or a mood ring.
The Windhorse is brown.
When the left boob is pointed south and the right boob is pointed slightly east.
Yeah.
Windhorse's hands take great comfort in being under the moob. What is up with Windhorse being able to be naked and still be on television? His privates covered by a big fupa. Windhorse dozing off after a box of Little Debbie's. Windhorse repping insulin. Windhorse hoping that LeBron moves to a town where they will not have to amputate his foot.
What?
A side effect of diabetes.
Right. Okay, I'm with you now. Okay.
Look at that face.
Right. Yeah, he's gone.
Windhorse is scared. People are good to know it was him. Pay no heed. 'Twas not me. Windhorse constantly repping sulfur. Burner. What is up with Windhorse needing two rolls of toilet paper after defecating? So hard to reach, fashioning sticks to get in that area.
A stick. It's like a straight up stick.
Really?
Reaching behind the back where hands cannot reach.
I gotcha.
Windhorse repping two seats on an airplane. All right, we will return. Here are the headlines.
Drives right side, passed him, scores it on the foul. And Marcus Morris screaming into the face of Tristan Thompson.
And you know what? You always, your brother's standing right there behind you. Like, what you gonna do now? My brother's right behind me.
And Tristan Thompson now trying to cause more trouble. He wants a piece of Morris after the play has settled down. And it didn't take long for this thing to get tested. They are still jawing at each other. Tristan Thompson. His mouth is going a mile a minute right now. Marcus Morris has kind of calmed down.
As soon as you know, you think you've seen everything until you get to a cauldron and it gets so hot.
Well, everything is going Tolkien's way today. 98.5 The Sports Hub, Mike Gorman, going to be in studio for the entirety of the 8 o'clock hour. But first, there was a press conference with LeBron James, yep. And here's what happened.
Bob Schrahn, the Citizen, thank you for your work that you do in Northeast Ohio, LeBron. That stretch, I asked Ty, that stretch bridging the end of the first half into the third quarter, how did that turn around in the game?
Turnovers and, not defending for, a full shot clock, especially in that third quarter. We've had our third quarter woes this whole season, and tonight was another example of that.
LeBron, how'd you feel after the collision with Jason Tatum in the first half, and do you think it affected your game in the second half at all after the collision?
I felt like I needed to go back to the locker room, which I did, kind of recalibrate. It was a tough blow.
Do you feel like as a team, you kind of lost your composure in the fourth quarter?
So is the idea that he had a concussion?
Yeah.
And he came back and played with a concussion.
I think this is in it, but he's asked whether he took any tests, like concussion tests, and he says he passed all of it, but he came out with sunglasses.
Right. Yeah.
And that sunglasses, and he had a hat down over his eye. I mean, it seemed like he was doing everything he could to darken things up. It did not look good. And at first I was like, oh, he's playing it up. But then you saw it, and Tatum's shoulder knocked him right in the jaw.
It was a direct hit, yeah.
And you've seen these guys, boxers, just take one in the jaw that might not even be square on it, and that'll knock him out.
Right.
So
he got rattled, walked right off the floor, and went right back into the locker room. And to me, they said, oh, they checked me out. I think he needed a quiet place to stay for a few minutes to make sure that he had his wits about him. And he wasn't the same player when he came back.
No, that's for sure.
Do you feel like as a team, you kind of lost your composure in the fourth quarter?
No, I don't think so. I think that's easy to say. I think we still, as not as well we would like to play in the second half. It was a two-possession game at one point.
What is your reaction just to Marcus Smart's impact on tonight's game and in this series so far?
Marcus always makes plays at the right time. But they put the ball in his hand and they trust him to, make plays for others. He has a really canon ability to, get...
He has a cannon ability?
Yes.
He's a great equalizer.
Yes, as he said before, he's the equalizer. He's a cannon ability as an equalizer on that team.
Okay.
But they put the ball in his hand and they trust him to, make plays for others. He has a really cannon ability to, get into the lane and either create for himself or create for others. And he did that a lot tonight with the 9 assists.
Tara Sullivan.
Stop real quick. Okay. Just real quick, as an aside. Marcus Smart just makes me think about that ridiculous play that he had, the Superman dive, that just epitomizes who he is. I mean, the guy is obviously exactly the type of spark plug you need in your team. He's got attitude. We've talked about this a million times. Is there anybody on the Cavaliers that you remember last night putting forth any sort of thing that you can call effort?
No.
Like, I'm not even talking a Marcus Smart level effort. No. I'm talking just... Was there a play that you saw anyone like going after like an offensive rebound or a scrap or something like that?
I'll do you one better. Outside of LeBron's first quarter, did you see any aggressiveness from Cleveland?
There was the wrestling to the floor between Baines and was that Tristan Thompson?
Yeah, and George Hill like reached around. I think it was Smart for a jump ball on defense.
Was there anything you saw that resembled anything that you could even call effort
outside of LeBron
first quarter?
Scoring 21 points in the first quarter and everyone looked engaged and this is we're gonna make a statement, we're gonna send a message.
He was
nothing.
Hitting contested threes.
Yeah, no. Outside of LeBron's superhuman effort, I mean, Kevin Love got his points off threes and they rebounded the ball well, but there wasn't anything out there that went okay. Now they've dialed it up a little bit. Nothing like that.
Tara Sullivan from the Boston Globe. LeBron, you used that phrase zero concern the other day after the game one loss. when you have 42 and a triple-double and you still lose, what's your level of concern now?
We have an opportunity to go back home, protect home court. You know, we're going to use these days to really dive in on what needs to be done to help our ball club be successful. They did what they had to do, and that was protect home, and now it's our, you know, it's our time to try to do that as well. So, you know, we have a few days, like I said, and, you know, we're going to, you know, see what we made of on Saturday.
LeBron, I know you talked the first question about your injury. Were you checked for a concussion?
I was checked for multiple things, and I passed them all, so that's why I was able to come back and finish the half.
Yeah, so you were not tested for anything.
No, not in five minutes.
You went back.
And I guarantee you that the people who are supposed to do that, the team doctors, are like, I am not going to even approach this unless I'm asked. I'm going to stand back here because I don't want to be the guy that didn't put LeBron James back in the game. If LeBron asks me to come
hell
over,
to pay.
I'll do that.
There's hell to pay. Unless it's incredibly serious, there is hell to pay. If you're a member of that Cleveland Cavaliers staff and you do not let LeBron James walk back out on the floor in the Eastern Conference Finals, not a chance.
I guarantee you they're sitting there and they're just like, I ain't saying a word unless somebody asks me to come over and
the
check him out.
The test was, LeBron, can you walk straight? How many fingers am I holding up?
Windhorst asked him how many boobs is he holding on his chest.
This is the first time you've been down 0-2 in the East in 10 years. How do you think you will kind of digest that challenge over the next couple of days?
How will I digest it?
Or how will Brian digest 17 Slim Jims he's just consumed?
I'm going to go home tonight and see my three kids.
Well, they're up far too late.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's
bad parenting.
Honestly, you know, it's midnight before he steps to the podium. I'm not going to get home till 3 in the morning.
I'm not telling anyone how to raise their children.
That's a good point.
But it's very late.
Hell yeah.
I mean, come on.
I'm going to go home tonight and see my three kids, see my family, recalibrate, see my mom. I think I'll be fine. I'm not going to lose sleep over it. You go out and you lay everything on the line. You know, at the end of the day, you can live with that. So, you know, I'll recalibrate as far as how I can help this team continue to be successful. You know, the only way I probably won't get no sleep tonight if Kev don't get a question asked probably at the end of the day.
I'm looking at Dave. Don't do it, Dave.
So, I'm going to lose a lot of sleep if someone doesn't ask him a question.
I can leave.
Oh, my God.
What are you going to do? Rock and roll, Mike. You're feeling on everything that happened.
What's going on? Rock and roll, Mike is here. What's going on, Tacho and Rich?
What's up, Rock and Roll Mike? What are you doing?
Where's Adam Jones? Where's Sean Mark? Where's Brad? Where's Nick? Oh, yeah.
I was down in your hood. I went to the Red Sox game the other day. Where are you not doing work near the Red Sox anymore?
No, I'm working on my album, man. I'm still working on my album. I got something to do. Oh, yeah. I rock the streets. Yeah, but not right now. But the streets, oh, yeah.
All right, do you have a song about the Celtics win this morning? Anything you could sing about them?
Yeah, I'm working on that. Hey, I'm kicking the beats on the streets when I get on there. Oh, yeah, because I'm always in the alleyway every day. Yeah, you guys want to come to a barbecue? We'll rock it out. What's up?
Yeah, it's a roadkill barbecue. Now, Rock and Roll Mike, can you sing us one of your new songs?
Yeah, well, I don't know about that, but I'm saying, I want to rock! Rock! I want to rock! Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. You understand me, Rich?
All right, listen, I'm down with you. I am.
That's what I'm talking about.
Tell you what.
Oh, yeah!
Within the next hour, I want you to write a song about the big Celtics win last night. Call us at 9 o'clock after Mike Gorman's here. You know what? Maybe call us at the end of the Mike Gorman hour. Maybe around 8:50 so he can enjoy all the greatness.
All right. I'll do that.
All right. I want a Celtics song by 8:50. All right. Thank you very much.
All right. I'll do that.
Okay. Yes.
You guys rock 98.5.
Yes. Adam Jones. Yes.
Everything going on.
All right. He loves Adam Jones.
I don't know why.
Mike Gorman is going to join us at 8 o'clock.
The games are only half of it. Thatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports. Mike Gorman just joined us in studio, and he's, as everyone, is so impressed with my setup here.
It's funny because I walked in, and, you know, Gorman's, you know, was scheduled to be on for a second, so I didn't expect him to. So I walk in, and I see someone kind of meandering around your seat. I'm like, oh, Fred's probably looking for, like, oh, it's Mike Gorman.
Yeah.
You've been working out, Fred.
He saw.
It's true.
I wanted him to be sitting there when you walked in.
He saw, and then he saw what all this stuff that goes on here. He saw that I had a review of last night's series finale of New Girl up and The Onion. He saw the two things that I have up on my computer.
Yeah. But, well, Mike Gorman was trying to read The New Girl, you know, because he obviously wasn't able to see it yesterday.
He had second row seats last night.
Yeah, those are nice, aren't they?
Yeah, they don't stink. No,
you're getting a lot of FaceTime, as I was telling you off the air.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, there was the goaltend that wasn't yesterday that you were. They focused right in on you, man.
Did they really?
Oh yeah.
You were not happy.
Well, no, I wasn't happy. It was a goaltend.
Come on, okay. Yeah. So, so we are. I guess we can go ahead and. Do you want to go ahead and break and come back? Do the headlines and come back?
We're on the air.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. I was about to say.
You got to tell me this kind of stuff.
Yeah, your microphone is on.
All right,
Gorman, you walked in and you came in a little early, and you ruined the flow of the show. I had a lot to say, and then you popped in, and then you started, you know, getting all wowzers about my setup here, and then it made everything go kablooey. Do you notice that I'm talking like an idiot?
Yeah.
This is going like one of our phone interviews.
Yeah.
About as smoothly.
So I have a minute and 30 seconds. Did you watch, Mike Gorman, did you DVR the last episode of New Girl last night?
No, I didn't.
Okay. Jess and Nick got married.
No, really?
You almost
I almost did. I almost did.
I know. I was the same way. I'm not going to spoil it for anyone. And they played game of True American. One last game of True American as they moved out of the loft, and Winnie the Bish played one last prank on the gang, and I'm going to have to go home, and I'm going to have to revisit it again and gather my family around the hearth, which is our television, and really dig my feet into this thing.
All right.
It was not an easy night last night. You had some stupid, meaningless sports game, and then you had... Real emotion. People's mm-hmm. lives.
Drama.
You know, over the course of seven seasons, you learn to love an ensemble comedy, don't you, Mike?
Sure, like Cheers, something like that.
Yeah, if you were to talk about... Yeah, Cheers is to New Girl as in excrement is to caviar. But nonetheless, so I'm saying Cheers is not as good as New Girl.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, well, keep up.
I did.
He cracked the code.
Keep up. I mean, are you going to go Norm or are you going to go Schmidt? I mean, come on, let's be honest.
This has been really good so far, hasn't it? We got 50 minutes left.
Screw you, Mike. Not everyone lives in a bubble in the effing garden. All right. Well, nonetheless. All right. Now you're on the clock. Mike Gorman is going to be in studio 617-779-0985.